Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, June 25th, the year of our Lord, 2023. This is the fourth Sunday after Pentecost. It's a joy to welcome you here to the podcast. It is a beautiful sunny day here on Pensacola Beach. I can see paddle boarders and windsurfers out in the sound, and you and I get to be together in this moment. Life is good. So in that spirit, let's celebrate the gift of life by taking in the breath of life. Breathe. This is good. This is a gift filled with opportunity and challenge and hope and peace and love and joy. This is life. And I encourage you to turn your face toward the sky. Call to mind the things that are good and true and beautiful. Thank God for all of these things. And let's begin together in worship. Please join with me in the opening prayer as printed in the bulletin. You can find today's bulletin just below where you found the podcast. You'll see a little icon there. You can tap on that, click on it, and it will come up for you. Let's begin. Through dreams and visions, O God, you broaden the horizon and hope of your people, that they may discover the meaning of your covenant, even in the midst of trial and exile. Increase the number of those who believe in your word, so that all people may joyfully respond to your call and share in your promises. Amen. Our scripture reading today comes from Matthew's Gospel, the 10th chapter, verses 24 through 39. A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. This is the word of God for the people of God. And we give thanks to God for it. Father in heaven, we give you thanks for the gift of your word alive among us. Help us to take it into ourselves so that it would change us, that it would resurrect and renew us. We pray, dear God, that you would save us from distraction and misinterpretation, that we would truly hear what it is you're saying to each and every one of us. We ask this in your holy name and say, Amen. Wow, quite a reading we have today, isn't it? It's hard. It's hard to read. It's very tempting as a pastor to want to sand over some of the rough edges, the hard-to-hear parts. It's that Jesus teaching that makes us think. It's rare that he sends us off with a clever little axiom that we can just put on a trinket, a bumper sticker, or a keychain. It is something to be prayed over and practiced and discussed in communities like our churches. In the broader context of today's passage, chapter 10, if you go up to the beginning of the chapter, you see that Jesus has summoned his 12 disciples, and he's given them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. He's equipping them for a mission trip. He's blessing them with the spiritual gifts, the miracle-working gifts that he himself possesses to prepare them to go out and to preach this gospel. And he sends them out with these gifts, these 12, to their tribe, to the lost sheep of Israel. He says, don't go to the other communities. Don't go among the Gentiles. Don't go among the Samaritans. You need to see your people. We start with them. We start with our tribe. And that does, he sends them out. So he anoints them. He gives them these supernatural gifts. He tells them where to go. And then what to pack, which isn't much. What you're going to bring, really, I hear him saying, is your faith. What you're going to bring is your ability to discern the spiritual health of those that you encounter. And you'll know them. One of the first indications will be their hospitality. If they welcome you in your peace, if you come in grace and peace, and you can feel that grace and peace coming back to you, you stay in that place for a while because that's fertile ground. The gospel can be heard there. But if you encounter the opposite, don't waste much time there. Just pack up your things, take that peace back with you, and be ready to share it somewhere else. What he's preparing them for is to be like him. That to preach the gospel, to share the gospel, is not to do something other than Jesus does, it's to be like him. And that's the beginning of today's reading. A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher. The rabbi is sending his students to go out and be like the rabbi. So if you think of that, and then you think of your understanding of the gospel stories, that's a big deal. That's a big risk and a big ask for these disciples. They haven't known him all that long, a couple years. And now they're going out to perform supernatural acts. I mean, heck, just going out at that level of vulnerability is an incredible leap of trust and faith. To go out with just enough provision, with no means of physically defending yourself. And part of the brilliance of that is so that they would come to know who to fear. Yes, we're all afraid of someone who might want to come and do us physical harm or do physical harm to our families. But in the context of this teaching, that this is going to all be about trust. Again, it's going to all be about being like Jesus. Jesus, keenly aware that this movement, this good news, this gospel that he brings, while to us, to the Christ follower, or those who aspire to be like him, to want to be inspired by him, it seems ridiculous that, I mean, how can you object to someone who brings truth and beauty and love, who feeds the hungry and heals the sick? But time and time again in the gospel, people in positions of power and authority, people whose egos are so inflated that to be shown a different way will not sit with them. They're not going to tolerate it. They're not going to have it. So all of this reading is about what it means to be like the rabbi. And it's not always easy. People aren't going to receive you the way you think they would. Even in your own home, this will have consequences. He's just laying it out there. I'd like to say that this would just be all peace and love. You're going to spit sunshine and roses out of your mouth. But what it is that the way and the truth and the life, it's a hard go in some areas. And your parents might hear what I've been teaching you and reject it and kick you out of the house. Your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, your mother-in-law, your father-in-law, they might see how this gospel has changed you. It might make them angry at you. It might make them afraid of you. And they can't handle it. And so they'll want you away. It's part of following. But don't be discouraged. Because this is not a fight about power and money. It's about your very soul. It's about the reality that all of us are fearfully and wonderfully made by our Father in heaven. And that's the part that we need to care and to comfort and to protect. We'll go down a little bit further in the reading. And he has this illustration about this. He uses this, the humble illustration of the sparrow. Birds that can be bought for just a few coins as part of the sacrificial system. And that the Father in heaven, the creator of these birds, loves these birds. They matter to him. That even the humble sparrow worth a few pennies, God's aware when they fall. So if God is aware of this sparrow, imagine the God who knows even the numbers of hair on your head, how much this God loves you. It's so much bigger than you might imagine. It's bigger than anything that you can monitor in your checking account or in your holdings in your estate. It's about the account that looks like the things that you can't trade in the open market. The things of the soul, grace and peace, hope, charity, and compassion. Do we live lives that are receptive of the gospel? Are we making gracious, hospitality for the disciples that come to us? And are we doing the reverse? Are we going out, paying attention to places where we can be received and this good news can be heard? Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. And maybe a way, and maybe this is me sanding off the rough edges, those who want to be in relationship with me are in relationship with me. Those who are willing to take the risk to stumble and fall and get back up and confess their sin and move forward with me, we're in relationship. I want you to be in relationship with me, but if you deny me, if you don't want that, especially if you actively seek it, okay, fair enough. Which makes the good news so very good that at any moment on this journey, if it's been hard for us in particular, if we've struggled mightily with things that lead us astray, that lead us away from the things that are good, that make us unable to see and appreciate things that are beautiful, to the point where our thinking is so muddled that we don't even know what is true. And if in the midst of that tumult, we hear the good news. Someone draws alongside us and says, there's a better way. Now you'll need to cut yourself off from this stuff over here. But God knows you. God knows you in the midst of your confusion. God knows you in the midst of your despair. God knows you in your lack. God knows you in your infirmity and your hunger. In a moment of decision, we run into the loving arms of God the Father, encouraged by God the Son, and filled with the Holy Spirit. It is tremendous good news, eternal good news, to which I say, Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you. We pray that you would watch over us and abide with us, protect us, provide for us. Help us to preach this good news in word and deed. And I pray, O God, that you would make each and every one of us open to it, receptive to it. That you would find hospitality in our lives. We pray for this good world that you've made, O God. We pray over the powers and principalities of this world, that heaven would break in, that you would set things right, that you would redeem those things that seem to us irredeemable. And you know our hearts and our minds, our life stories. You know the number of hairs on our head. So we ask that you draw near as we take a moment, dear God, to be quiet, to unfold the prayer lists, the list of joys and concerns that we carry around. We present it to you, God, that you would consider it, and you'd respond to us, you'd answer our prayers. Join us in this quiet moment, dear God. We break our silence. God, we thank you for the gifts of peace and quiet. We thank you for the gifts of our faith. And when the students went to the rabbi and they asked, how is it we should pray? The rabbi, our Lord Jesus, answered them. He said, pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, as we part company from this moment together, I pray that we can all hear Jesus sending us. He's gifted us in 1,000 different ways. He's encouraged us. He's shown us the way of discipleship. Go forth and don't be afraid, for you are of great value to God. Our God that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who sends you into this day with peace and courage and strength. Peace be with you. Amen.